Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we will do the conclusion of our program yesterday. You know, don't judge in the Bible. Well, don't judge. That doesn't apply to us here at Bob Inyart Live. That you read that in the Sermon on the Mount, don't judge. And it doesn't apply to us. In fact, Jesus doesn't want it to apply to you. Don't judge. He wants you to judge. So we'll continue with that, but first, a couple comments. Something coming up this weekend in Boulder, Colorado. Also about the Islamic terrorist attack in Manchester, England, killing these children, young girls. Authorities were desperately trying to figure out if this terrorist, if he had a network. And that's an important question. So the first diagnostic is, was he a member of a mosque? Yes, then he had a network. Okay, so then we move on to try to identify the network. Secondly, did he have a link to any Islamic terror group? Did he have a link to Al-Qaeda or a link to ISIS or any of the dozens of Muslim terrorist groups, all of which have murdered innocent people? The link is the motivation for the terror attack. The link is the motivation. You don't have to find emails, cell phone calls. You don't need any of that. The link is the motivation. Then the question, really, to understand terrorism, what is terrorism? We have what we believe is the best definition on our website, kgov.com/terror. kgov.com/terror. It'll bring up a web page titled, What is Terrorism? The Best Definition. Do you feel confident that you know what terrorism is? And there are perfectly good words to describe other heinous acts like genocide, arson, unjust war, mass murder, war crimes, monstrous. Plenty of terms. But what is terror? What is terrorism? What is it? Are you able to define it? If not, check out kgov.com/terror. And you might want to post that if you have a social media site or email it to a friend and just get it out there so that more people will be able to find out what is the definition, the correct definition of terror. On Saturday, up in Boulder, Colorado, Christians, just a handful of us right now, maybe there'll be more, will be out in a street witness to remind Boulderites, it's considered the People's Republic of Boulder because of how left-wing, godless, humanist it is, liberal. We will be there to remind them that they need to repent from killing unborn children. This will be a street witness on the corner of Broadway and Baseline. So if you're in the Boulder area, the Denver metro area, or anywhere really in the Colorado Front Range and you're able to get to Boulder at 3 p.m, we will be there for about an hour. This is organized by Dominic Enyart. And so he called me from Montana. He's in Montana right now with his brother and some of our dear friends. And he said, Dad, could you do a street witness Saturday in Boulder? And I said, Son, what time and where? What time and where? One of the reasons that as a Christian that you participate in events, whether it's a concert at your church or it's a Bible study, a Sunday school, a protest, a whatever it is, there are multiple reasons. One is, of course, that you want to obey God and reach out to the lost. Two is that you need to grow and strengthen your Christian faith and your courage. And three is you want to encourage those who are organizing these events. You want to encourage them. So we are a body of many members, and the members, we all have different roles within the body of Christ. And one of the roles that we should all take is to encourage others who are obeying God and trying to reach the lost and warn the wicked of their wicked ways, as the Bible says, because unbelievers really won't want salvation if they don't know they need to be forgiven. You mention sin and they laugh. They think there's no such thing as sin. The liberals have lied for so long saying people are basically good, and so they don't even believe that they're sinners. In fact, the things that human beings used to do and were ashamed of and would hide, today they brag about them. They brag about them to their family, to friends, coworkers, neighbors. They march down Broadway, and they just brag about their filth and perversion. So it's very worthwhile. You know, the Word of God does not come back void. And whether you reach someone and the Holy Spirit works in their heart, on their mind, and prompted through your effort, and someone softens their heart and humbles themselves and asks God to forgive them and trust in Jesus Christ, whether it's that which is the ultimate success, it's not what God requires of us. What God requires of us is obedience. And if we obey him, then he blesses us. And he even rewards us. Although whatever crowns he would want to give to his own, they would want to cast those crowns back at the feet of Jesus Christ. But the rewards that really I think we'll cherish forever is the fellowship of those who've come to the Lord because of our witness, because of our testimony for Jesus Christ. So those are the rewards. And then as believers, you lose rewards when the people around you either cite your sinful behavior as an excuse to reject the gospel, or just because they never heard of the gospel from you, from your lips. You know, the lifestyle evangelism idea that you evangelize by your actions? Well, that is not to the exclusion of by your words. You need both. People don't get saved because you mowed your neighbor's lawn when he cut his foot and went to the emergency room. I mean, people are thankful for that. Even unbelievers tend to be thankful for that. This guy who's in the Pirates movie, what is his name? They've got now, like, Pirates number 167 out this weekend. Johnny Depp, right? Johnny Depp. And he was, I don't know if he was, if he's divorced or getting a divorce from his Hollywood actress wife, and she video recorded him in a rage and drinking early in the morning, and then it was put on YouTube of all places. Just bizarre. But anyway, I know virtually nothing about Johnny Depp, but I do know that he drives around with his pirate getup in a car, in a trunk, and if he could work it into his schedule, he stops at children's hospitals, puts on his costume, and goes in, gets permission, and then presents to the kids. He goes into character, and the kids, they're sick, some are dying, and they absolutely love it. And I love that. I mean, that's just tremendous that he does that. Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. He said that the Samaritans, they don't even know God. They don't know God. But he compared the religious leaders, the Pharisees, right, the priests, the Levites, the religious leaders who saw someone dying in the street and they were too busy with their ministry to care about their neighbor. And so Jesus said, but the Samaritan, and the Lord said, the Samaritans, they don't even know who God is. But Jesus said, who loved his neighbor? Who was the example? And of course, it was the Samaritan who loved his neighbor. So I'm really thankful that Johnny Depp does that. And I imagine that this film will be just another example of Hollywood trying to get young children to laugh at sexual immorality and all that. But speaking of lawless pirates and Boulder, Colorado, and the Boulderites, this will be a good opportunity to do some pre-evangelism and evangelism to remind the people of Boulder, Colorado, that they are in rebellion against God, so much so that they kill innocent children. They dismember children. It used to be you wanted to describe someone as evil, and you might say that they would drown puppies. Today, they dismember innocent children, and they celebrate it. That is the wickedness that today abounds. So, I'd like to go to part two, then, of yesterday's broadcast, which was titled, Don't Judge, Doesn't Apply to Us Here at Bob and Yurt Live. And don't judge shouldn't apply to you either, because Jesus doesn't want it to apply to you. As we discussed, Jesus said, don't judge, you hypocrite. First, stop committing this sin that your neighbor's committing, and then you can see clearly enough to judge your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you will judge him. And so I won't repeat the discussion on the many verses we looked at, but John 7:24, Jesus commanded us to judge with righteous judgment. In Luke 7, he praised the man who judged rightly. And to the Corinthians, Paul was ashamed that they were not willing to judge the smallest matters. And he wrote to them that we have the mind of Christ, and he who is spiritual judges all things. We also embedded into yesterday's show summary on our website at kgov.com. So if you go there, maybe it's a few weeks from now, you could click on the BEL archives down in the footer of our website and go to the May 23rd, 2017 program, and you'll see Lisa from Metairie, Louisiana, who called in to Bob and Yurt Live. And Lisa was not judging me when she called in, saying that it is wrong to judge. We can't judge. And so, what did we title that? Adults Say the Darndest Things? Yeah, Adults Say the Darndest Things. So you might want to see that very short YouTube video. And now to continue with the conversation. I left off yesterday saying that those verses I just mentioned, plus many more, and that the New Testament says that we shouldn't be stuck on the milk, but we should be able to move toward the meat, right? Like in the book of Hebrews, everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so today, oh, that today the church would be addicted to the milk. Oh, that it would. This is how far we have fallen, because forget about the meat. The church can't even handle the milk, because judging your neighbor is the milk of the word. And it's only the self-righteous Christian that digs in and will insist that you're not supposed to judge anyone. Okay, so some guy's trying to sell drugs to kids on a playground. Well, I can't judge. Who am I to judge? Right, the Pope? The Pope is ready in a heartbeat to judge anything he considers to be conservative. Right, right-wing conservative. But regarding homosexuality, he says, who am I to judge? So what does that do? That exposes his heart. He has a tenderness in his heart toward homosexuality. Of course. And so the Christian who is lactose intolerant, that is, he can't even handle the milk of the word, he can forgive in a heartbeat. He could forgive the abortionist who slaughtered thousands of children, the abortionist who is not repentant. He could forgive the sodomite. And you know, homosexuals reproduce sexually, many of them, by molesting younger boys. So homosexual men reproduce sexually by molesting boys. That's a primary method of homosexual reproduction. They do reproduce sexually by molesting children. And then it's like the Stockholm syndrome. The children are horrified, just absolutely horrified, devastated. They go into years of depression, but their captor wins them over. So it's the classic Stockholm syndrome in the homosexual community. Christians today will judge the Christian who admonishes the wicked, but they won't judge the wicked. And if the wicked don't know that they're sinners, like Johnny Depp, if he doesn't know that he's a sinner, is he going to ask God to forgive him of his sin? Will he? Of course he won't. So that's called pre-evangelism. That's why God gave us the law. The law. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's goods. And Jesus said that if you lust after your neighbor's wife, it's as though you've committed adultery already in your heart. So the government, of course, the government doesn't charge with a crime and then try and punish someone who lusts in his heart or who is angry without cause in his heart. Jesus said, if you're angry without cause, it's as though you committed murder. And why is that? Because we are eternal creatures. And if you lust in your heart, given the enough time and the opportunity, you would commit adultery. And if you're angry at your neighbor without cause, in other words, usually you're the one who's guilty, and they never forgive the ones they hurt. You get that? They never forgive the ones they hurt. So you're angry at your neighbor without cause, and given enough time and the opportunity, you would kill your neighbor. Jesus pointed to what is inside of a man, in his heart. Not what enters him, not the food he eats, and the dietary law that makes him unclean, but it's what comes out of his mouth, what's in his heart. So people say, love the sinner, hate the sin. And that's interesting, right? So how do you do that? Why doesn't God do that and just send the sin to hell and let everyone into heaven? I realize that's another heresy that's becoming widespread in the body of Christ. Christians today who go to good churches, they haven't even been taught that Jesus Christ is part of the Trinity, that Jesus Christ is God, that he's the creator God. That's another widespread area of utter confusion in the church, which is horrific. And that God made us as eternal beings. He put eternity into our hearts. And so we either live forever with God or forever without God. Increasingly, people don't know that. There is so much. There's an extreme ignorance of the Bible that is crippling the church. So if you can't judge, if that's an absolute, if Hillary's favorite Bible verse is your pastor's, one of his top 10 favorite Bible verses, don't judge, well then, you can't pre-evangelize anyone. You can't warn them that they are wicked, that they are violating God's law. They're in rebellion against God. They're sinful, they're wicked, and they need to be forgiven. So the church has been crippled, and that paralysis slows every denomination. It hurts local fellowships. You know, what is the percentage of Christians who've succumbed to the judge not deception? Now, every now and then, we will hear a Christian leader, and we're so heartened by this, and he will speak out against judge not. And he'll say clearly, it's not biblical, it's untrue, and he'll explain that we as Christians must judge. That happens rarely, but now and then, and it is encouraging when it happens. We've been doing this on the air for 26 years now. But is there, what percentage of believers have not fallen for that diversion, that false teaching? A quarter century of observation suggests to us here at Bob and Yurt Live that the vast majority of Christians, well over 90%, have been deceived by the judge not mantra. So believers need to turn from that sin and ask God for wisdom to keep from being so easily deceived again. Right? The Bible, you know, that those two words are in the Bible. Don't judge. Here are four words that are in the Bible. Curse God and die. Is that good advice? Word for word, it's right there in the Bible. It's the counsel that's given in the book of Job. Curse God and die. Many verses, if you rip them out of context, they can ruin lives. How about, what if we took something out of Matthew and something out of Luke? Like, Judas went and hanged himself, and Jesus says, go and do likewise. What, that? I mean, the believer who lacks a hunger for God's word is susceptible to the most absurd dangers. So don't judge. And they allow that to undo the entire Bible, Old and New Testament. You know, there's a book of Judges. So I had a Bible with a leather cover, and that was a real privilege, in jail. I was in Jefferson County Jail. And there was another inmate there, Edgar. He was a Christian. And he and I would talk about judging, and I gave him all these verses that showed Jesus commanding us to judge, and throughout the Bible. And he refused because he had been taught in church, you can't judge. So all the verses, it didn't matter if they were in red letter, didn't matter. He just refused. But I was getting out that stint in jail. I only did about 2 months. I've been in jail a total of 6 months. It's jail ministry. For those new to the show, it's just like in the Bible, they had jail ministry. So we advocate jail ministry here at Bob and Yurt Live and Denver Bible Church. And, you know, going, visiting someone in jail, that's really great to do. Or you can have a 24/7 jail ministry from the inside. You can imagine how you reach more people that way. And it's sort of a New Testament approach to jail ministry. So I'm in there, and Edgar says, no, we can't judge. So I ask him, well, how about when Jesus said here in John chapter 7 to judge with righteous judgment? No, we can't judge. And he wanted my leather Bible because I'm getting out and he's in for like half a year. So what's the sense in giving him the Bible if he doesn't believe the Bible? But I said, Edgar, you really want this Bible? And he said, yes, I really do. Because, you know, in jail, they give you the paperback, which is perfectly fine. But he wanted a cool Bible. So I said, well, I'll think about it. But if I'm going to give it to you, you don't believe this verse here. So John chapter 7, I ripped it out. I ripped that chapter out of the Bible. And I said, now, if I, you know, and ripped it up and threw it out. And said, now, if... He said, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, why not, Edgar? Because you don't believe what it says in that chapter. So why do you want that chapter? The chapter must be bad. So, but he still wanted the Bible. And the next day, I read another verse, and he didn't believe it. Ripped that chapter out. Then I asked him, I said, if judging is so bad, in the book of Judges, are they the good guys or the bad guys, since they're judging? And he didn't know the answer, so I ripped the book of Judges out of the Bible, the whole book of Judges. Because if all these people are judging, clearly they must be the bad guys. And in the book of Judges, the judges are for the most part the good guys. So that must be wrong too. So eventually the Bible had lost about 100 pages. And I was released, and he still wanted the Bible, so I gave it to him. And we called it the Edgar Bible. I wrote in the cover, the Edgar Bible. You know, there's the King James Bible, the Darby Bible, the Young's Bible. There's the Jefferson Bible, Thomas Jefferson. He ripped out most of what Jesus said because he rejected it. He rejected anything about the person of Jesus Christ, that he came to forgive us of our sins, that he died on the cross for us, that he was raised from the dead so that those who trust in him can have everlasting life. He rejected all of that. He rejected all of the great works that Jesus did, the miracles, signs, and wonders. But he just accepted the things that as a deist he felt comfortable accepting, like love one another. Isn't that nice? So that Jesus was a great teacher. But that can't be. If Jesus isn't our creator God, then he can't be a great teacher, because he told us that we have to love him more than we love our own mothers and fathers, our children, our wives, our husbands. So at any rate, the Edgar Bible went to Edgar, and I've never heard from Edgar since, and that's not surprising. In jail, you could be best friends, and then you leave, and rarely do people stay in touch. It happens occasionally. I remember a letter to the local Denver newspaper, letter to the editor. It spoke against the death penalty. It said that we need instead to just incarcerate people. The author of the letter said that these criminals are made in the image of God. So the media is happy to promote Christianity and the image of God and so on when it's used to undermine the scriptures, to undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is based on the death penalty. The death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this letter writer said it would be wrong to put the image of God to death. How's that? That was his argument. So wouldn't it be wrong to put the image of God in jail, too? Wouldn't that be wrong also? So judge not is the prayer of those who want to hide light under a basket. That cliche describes salt that has lost its flavor, which no longer seasons or preserves. It's a seductive lie that takes its victims out of ministry. They become spectators on the sidelines, and they only watch the spiritual battle, but they are then in a comfort zone. Apathy is the craving. Judge not is the shirking of responsibility to love your neighbor. So if you are interested, you can read this article at kgov.com/judge. kgov.com/judge. There's a cartoon there, a political comic. A guy is being tried in court, and the judge says to him, "And then I thought, who am I to judge? Go home, little man." So, hey, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.